Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We enter this night into the three most sacred days in the Christian calendar, known as the Triduum, sometimes known as the Paschal Triduum, sometimes known as the Easter Triduum. It is the 3 days prior to the day of the resurrection, in which we hear the account, the final account, of our Lord's earthly events. Tonight, Maundy Thursday, is the day, of course, when our Lord instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, the Mass, the Holy Eucharist, communion, whatever, however you want to refer to it. However, in John's Gospel, we do not have an account of the particulars that happened at the Last Supper. We hear that in St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he is witnessing to what had been delivered to him, and he goes through what the Lord did on this night in terms of offering his body as the bread for the world and his blood for that which cleanses sin away. But we do not hear that in John's Gospel. What we do hear in John's Gospel is a deep witness to the love of God, a deep witness to the mercy of God, and a deep witness of our Lord's care and compassion for all of his disciples. Now, John gives us a very particular slant, as I mentioned on Sunday for those of you who are here, a particular slant on Jesus. We see Jesus in a majestic sense. We see Jesus as the transcendent God. We see him who came in the Word made flesh, who came in great humility in his nativity, and continues to stoop down so that we can be raised up, so that the disciples can be raised up. He is aware of the fact that he is about to depart. He is aware of the fact of who is going to betray him. He's aware of the events that are about to happen to him. He does not shy from them. He does not run from them. He does not try to escape them. He moves into them, and with graciousness and love, he lives them out. But not as an individual. He does so both with his disciples and through his disciples. Knowing that he was to have that cup set before him, and knowing that he had come from God and was going back to God, he loved the disciples to the end. To the end. But in John's Gospel, we don't have that institution of the Eucharist with, this is my body, this is my blood, take this in remembrance of me. We do not. We have an act that only the lowest of the lowly slaves would undertake, washing of an individual's feet. That was an act of absolute, total servitude, and nobody, particularly a teacher of Israel, the one who was the Messiah, let alone the Son of God, would even deem to think to stoop that low, to perform that task to those who were present. Yet the Lord does. The Lord rises from supper, takes off his outer garment, puts on the towel, and he washes each of their feet. Now we hear the account of Peter always being the obstreperous one. No, Lord, you will never wash my feet. Never, ever will you do that. No, no, no. And some of you, when I invite you forward in a little bit, may say the same thing. No, Lord, no, you cannot, not me, Lord, but no, I cannot have my feet washed because, I don't know, it's just not fun. You know, I wouldn't take off my socks for anybody. Well, you know, think Peter for a second. Just think Peter for a second with that. And then, you know, it's no big deal. But anyway, Peter, no, Lord, you'll never do that. Peter says, Jesus says to him, you know, you don't let me do this. You have no part in me. Well, then Peter's all gung-ho, you know, my hands, my feet, you know, the whole deal, schmeal. But, and he does, and he lets him. But whose feet did he also wash? He also washed the other 10. And whose feet did he also wash? He washed Judas' feet. Did he not? He washed Judas' feet, knowing, as we're told in the gospel, that Judas was the one who was going to betray him. Judas was the one who collected the 30 pieces of silver from the high priest of the Sanhedrin, and yet even Judas gets his feet washed. The Lord of life stoops down that low to wash Judas's feet, him who was to betray him to death, even death on a cross. Now, that's not to say that the 11 were perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but Jesus knew particularly what the sins of Judas were and what the end was going to be. And yet, with grace and compassion, he accepts that verdict, and he also embraces with the same love that he has for St. Peter and the rest of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him. So, that love extends beyond. There was not a selfishness in saying, you know, because Judas was a bad person, you have no part in me. He offered to the end. He loved all of the disciples to the end. Not one did he abandon. One abandoned him, the rest would flee, but he continued to embrace, continued to call them to himself in the hopes that love would conquer sin and that darkness would be overcome by light. A beautiful power example of love that knows no boundaries, love that has no limit, and love that is everlasting and eternal. A love that lives beyond the grave, and a love that forgives all things. So for those of you who do come forward in a few moments to have your foot washed, just a simple instruction. There's 12 chairs. First come, first serve. It's kind of like Tasty Freeze, but not quite. First come, first serve. It's not like, you know, this is not a sacramental thing. This is a symbolic thing. It's not like you'll all receive communion, but only 12 will get their feet washed, or any number up into that. One foot on sock and shoe off, and just remain seated until afterwards, and then we'll go back and we'll continue the service. So for those of you who do come forward, and for those of you who don't, for whatever reason, or maybe everyone will try to come forward and only 12 will get seats, for those of you who remain in the pews, remember, and for those of you who come forward to have your foot washed, remember the depth, the breadth, and the height of that love that the Son of God showed to everyone, not just those with whom he had favor, even Judas. And remember, on this night, when he instituted and gave himself to us completely in that act of the mandatum, but also in his body and blood, we are not worthy to receive him, and yet he stoops down to make us worthy and to love us beyond the means that we should be loved. And that is what we should take away this night as we remember our Lord's sacramental institution and the offering of himself in the washing of the feet of the disciples. So for those of you who would like to come forward, now is the time.